let's say China.
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 China. You go over to China.
Okay, anyway, so I'm good. How am I doing over here?
You're perfect.
Thanks, bro.
No, your volume.
Oh. So. Okay, so I'm gonna leave it again. Doesn't matter. Fuck it. We got our voices. It's all we need.
It's our money makers.
Yeah.
That's why I swallow a gallon of Vaseline every night. It keeps it slippery. That's how I get these smooth tones.
I just drink a lot of lube. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
That's Vaseline. Can you drink, can you eat petroleum?
Oh yeah, no, totally.
What is petroleum's the byproduct of gasoline, right?
No, gasoline is petroleum that's had a process done to it.
Okay, so
petroleum is oil, I believe.
What is petroleum jelly then?
That's another byproduct of oil. All plastics and everything's made with petroleum.
Okay. Dude, it's a wonder material.
Yeah, I mean,
we should get really more oil. We should. What's with everyone like? Oh,
that's what I keep
saying.
We
don't need more oil, and here we are. Everything is oil.
Yeah, literally
fucking
everything.
Duh. God damn. Bunch of fucking narcs.
I'm sick of it.
Had it up to here.
Speaking of lube, the other night I had a dream where I was in a supermarket, nude, covered in honey, getting jerked off by Kana Hanazawa. And I'm really only excited by, like, one of those things, supermarkets, obviously. So I'm not really sure why my brain decided to combine them. I just needed to be sort of in a supermarket. I didn't even need the jerking. Like, I just need to be in there. Like, I'm already inside, baby. That's all I want.
I think that's, a deleted scene from the B-movie, is when Jerry Seinfeld gets beat off by that girl in the supermarket.
Beat off?
Beat. Fucking ass.
Fuck.
Hell.
Fuck this podcast. I'm fucking done.
Anyways. You know how girls, like, we were talking about this earlier, but how girls beat their shit really violently?
Really hard. I mean, like, you could find plenty of dudes also, like, it's just, masturbation is a really, really forceful act.
It's a sensual one for me.
It can't, oh yeah, no, I mean, it varies certainly by person, but, yeah, I mean, you really, there needs to be a lot of flesh movement.
A lot of,
There just needs, you need a lot happening for some people. I've seen guys beat off so viciously.
Those are the dudes who get ED.
I get, yeah, like their shit just can't handle it anymore.
It's
just too much stress. It's like a car with too many miles on it.
Of course, it's just put me out of my misery. Yeah, that's why you have to get a new dick.
I'm retiring early.
Oh, yeah.
I've done enough fucking work for this guy.
That was like the CEO of dicks, where they're like, they're retired by 55, living in Florida.
I heard the dick CEOs make 300 times more.
That's so unfair.
That's
fucking
bullshit.
Fucking 1%ers.
I can't stand the 1% of dicks.
I wish my dick was a 1%er.
There's not a lot of movement among these dick classes.
No, they're just
embedded,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you have to, in the next life, your penis can arise.
No, there was a Roman emperor who made all the dicks, he cemented them in their size, and he made it hereditary. So everyone's dick was the same size for 300 years.
Then fucking Darwin had to fuck everything up 300 years later after Rome.
In the year 600, when Darwin was hanging out.
Tilt your microphone up like two degrees. There you go.
Yeah, I like it.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fucking Darwin asshole.
I never met the guy.
Okay, but you know, you feel the effects of what he did, right?
Yeah.
By initiating evolution.
He started it. He activated the magic gems.
He made Hitler happen. How come
absolutely.
We don't talk about this?
I bet he was a real smug prick, too, eating those turtles.
He was
tortoises.
He's a really smug prick. He's like, religion, come on. He's evolution, like, hey, haven't you heard of it? I only just invented it.
If I wasn't supposed to eat these tortoises, evolution wouldn't have made them so fucking tasty.
Mm.
Natural selection, bitch.
Yep. I'm naturally selecting these tortoises because they're the tastiest ones.
I want to eat a fucking tortoise. Tortoise, the way they describe the those tortoises those guys ate, it makes them sound so good. They were bringing them across the ocean for research, and they could not resist eating them because they were so good.
God damn. Like,
it must be fucking amazing, those endangered tortoises.
We should eat all of them.
Like, yeah.
Have you ever considered that, like, endangered species are just too good for this earth?
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, there's something wants them if they're endangered, obviously.
Yeah, it's probably because they're the best. That's why you have to eat them before other people do. That's why all the dodos are gone, I think. Pretty sure.
Everyone was eating dodos. They look pretty good.
I like dodos. Those are a good animal.
They look really fucking... Yeah, they just look like a fantasy animal.
Yeah.
I guess all extinct animals look like fantasy animals because that's what we base our fantasy animals off of. Mm-hmm. But I bet dodos are just like a chicken, but like so much more in one animal.
They're dense.
And imagine eating a dodo egg. You think... Wait, were dodo eggs big? Hold on, let me look this up.
I don't know. Dodos were they large?
I feel like they were pretty big.
Have you ever seen those big rabbits? I love big rabbits.
Big rabbits are pretty cool.
Oh, super. I want to cuddle a big rabbit, except they're mean. I think rabbits are mean. I don't remember anymore.
Like Monty Python mean?
No. Yes, they're vicious. They just slash throats like crazy.
Okay, yeah, no, dodo eggs are fucking huge.
Nice.
They're like, you can palm it like it's a big...
That's super great.
It's like a big handful egg. Yeah, nice.
Can you imagine if T-Rexes were still around, like, the sport you would have in, like, fighting them? Like, wouldn't that be the best game?
I mean, they would play it really safe like they do with bullfights. They'd be pussy shit either way. Like, you know, it would just be like an army of dudes stabbing it a little bit over the course of 3 hours. Like, I don't know. I'm not interested in that.
But what if you were, like, the one dude who could take him down? It's like you saw through. You would have the biggest dick.
The T-Rex Whisperer?
Yes.
I could. Yeah. No, I'd be down for that. But you can say that about any animal, and I'd do that.
But like
the only guy who can fucking fuck a whale.
Huh.
I don't even want to fuck a whale. But if I'm the only one who could do it, I'd be doing it every day.
Just to show off.
I could make a living off of it.
It's a living, as you say.
Yeah, it's as I fuck this whale. as it takes me down 2,000 meters below the surface, I shrug as I come inside this gigantic mammal.
Girls gotta eat.
Well, it's a job, I guess, she said, as she got fucking covered in 3,000 gallons of whale cum. And she got shot into the air 200 feet by a whale ejaculation. It's like that scene. It's like that deleted scene from Hancock. It just shoots a hole in you.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Fucking. Oh God.
Whale loads. I'm gonna finish this really quick, Cole. I gotta start up the next one. This is good.
Okay. Yeah. You double fist apple drinks. That's a lot. You're not gonna just finish that. That's a lot of. Oh my God. Oh my God. You just drank. Wow. That was like half of that.
Okay.
Wow.
Three weebs.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about winter anime?
Yeah. I think people know the scoop by this point.
Yeah, no, they get it. We don't need to do any intros anymore.
We should do an episode where we just sit down and work out the name.
I mean, yeah, no, we need to have a session, definitely. Whether we record it or not, you know,
or
whatever.
Bonus.
I would like to, you know what, we should record that and then release it in like 5 years when the show, when the new show has 100 episodes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
Of course.
Yeah. So we'll do something.
Anyways.
But for now, let's just talk about anime.
Enough whimsy.
Yeah. we got like 8 or 9 shows here.
I think it's 9.
Okay. Cool. That's maybe. Not as many as we normally do, but maybe. That just means we can go more in depth.
Of course.
And every single one of these, we can really get into them. The first one on our list was a show called Akiba's Trip, which, if you rearrange the name just right, it can also spell Akiba Spitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see that little Easter egg there for you.
That's
pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. There's a lot of wordplay in this show. It's written by Nisio, and that's not true. This is based on a video game.
Oh, yeah. I could tell by the everything.
A Japanese video game. And it's by Gonzo, is the studio. I thought the show was kind of fun.
I also thought this show was kind of fun.
It's about a boy who's in Akiba for whatever reason, the Electric City, and weird stuff starts happening. He's hanging out with his sister, and then there's zombies, right? And he meets this girl with red hair, and she's a what do they call them? Bugged ones or something?
Yes, the bugged.
The bugged ones. And then he becomes a magic guy, and they fight the zombies. I guess there's an evil organization called Metrotica, which kind of sounds like Metallica.
All right.
All right. Metal. And
what are Metallica songs?
Enter Sandman.
Mr. Sandman.
No, that's not them.
Bring me... Oh.
No, it's got guitar. One. That's the name of the song. That's not... I'm
one
not listing.
One is the loneliest number.
That's
that
also
should.
Not... No, that's no? not them.
Okay, hold on.
What a Master of Puppets.
That's the one where they go with the guitars.
No. Have no idea what the fuck you're talking
about. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Go on.
Why don't you try listening to music for once?
Okay, sorry. I just get so distracted by small animals and lights.
It happens. Our main character, he collects shitty figures deliberately, which I like. He likes really obscure garbage.
Was that the joke, or was that...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess...
You didn't pay attention to any of these shows, did you?
No, I did. I just didn't realize that he was... I thought he just liked this... The joke was not that he liked it because it was shitty, but I thought he just liked a shitty thing.
I think at some point he acknowledges that they're shit. Yeah.
Okay. I did not realize that. I must have missed it.
Just because of the rarity, not because he actually likes them.
Gotcha. Those were fun, though. The figures
and,
are like...
And he meets this other lady who's annoying... And he immediately develops like a friendship with her because they both like the same shit crap, the same bullshit garbage.
That's why we have this podcast.
And I mean that's pretty much exact. Yeah, this is actually the origin story.
It's too real.
Her name's Arisa, and and then at the end he dies, and then the other girl who fights kisses him, and he becomes a powers man, and you defeat the zombies by ripping their clothes off, which is the premise of the game. That's why it's called Akiba Strip. You get it?
There's a joke in this that makes no sense to me.
What's that?
I mean, it makes sense, but it's just kind of vaguely obscure. He says that Homegirl's name is like a Mayo review blog. At one point, it's like, that sounds like a Mayo review blog. Are blogs big in Japan right now? Because they're everything
there's,
I've seen.
There's tons of blogs.
Okay, I didn't realize that was like...
You go to a Japanese blog, it's like they all sort of have the same format. And you can, like, so yeah, you know, there's a lot of blogs. I mean, yeah, you watched the first episode of Occultic Nine.
Yes.
That's all about blogs. Mm-hmm. He had an occult blog. Yeah, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Maybe her name is a pun on some kind of Mayo something. I don't know.
Seemed pretty specific, but it worked. I got it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, like, the first episode had pretty good... It's the action that's well directed. It's snappy and it's fast paced and it's fun.
He's snatching clothes off of people like crazy.
And it's got style. And I like it.
I thought this was a pretty decent show. I weird not related to the show at all note. They showed the artist like who did the ED, like the picture of her before the ED played, like this music video, this song's by this artist.
Oh, that's good.
And then ED played. And
I think
it was
because it's supposed to be like it was like a billboard in Akiba, right? And it showed them before it played the song. Mm-hmm. They probably do that there.
Yeah, that
ED is good with them walking on the sort of little globes made out of real life pictures of Akihabara.
Yeah.
So I still think, I mean, this show's going to suck. Because, like, first of all, it already looks a little ugly in some of the shots. It's the first episode. And the parts with plot were boring.
It's worth noting that they kind of established there are no stakes immediately. When his sister gets pinned by that, like, his sister gets pinned by a piece of falling building.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's no stakes when it's a comedy, right?
Fair.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm probably not going to continue watching this, but those action scenes are decent. That's pretty much all it's got going for it, though, I think. All
right.
So, yeah, it kind of reminds me of Punchline, except I'm not compulsively tying a noose while I'm watching it. I was just sort of, it was okay.
Do you want me to cover Masamune?
Let's go, show two. What's going on with... What's the show called?
Do you have the full title?
It's very simple. Masamune-kun no Revenge.
Okay.
Which means revenge.
Masamune's Revenge.
This is a manga adaptation by Silver Link, famous for other shows.
So this show opens up with Homie admiring himself. Masamune is the main character.
Yes, very Kanye-like.
He's a bit vain. And he's got all his workout gear in his place, and he says that his pledge is to not be trash, or like the only thing that matters is being sexy.
Oh yeah, no, he's trying to style on all these girls to get the benefits of being super hot.
Which totally works. Oh, yeah, no, when he goes to school, girls are all over him, and they're like, "Oh my god, you're working so hard! I see you. Are you Masamune? I see you playing soccer and shit." And then he's got smooth lines for girls.
Yep, and he can just get away with anything, whereas other guys get accused of being
creepy.
Creepy, yes.
Like, yeah. Or like, you know, like, are you taking a picture of me? You know, and things that.
Yep.
But he gets away with it because he's hot.
Also, by the way, before he leaves for school, we see he has a sister and a loli maid that turns out to be his mom. Whoa.
Okay, yeah, that's what that was. Okay, so I'm like, is that his mom? That's his mom, and I just kind of took it, and, you know.
I mean, they say it's his mom.
Didn't pay any attention to it.
But not at first, so I was like, wait, okay, so he just has a little housekeeper.
So he's at school, and he sees this dude confess his love to the cruel princess, who is the hottest girl in the school. She's hot, she's smart, and she's like the most desirable one.
Mm-hmm.
And then homeboy confesses his love to this girl, like, who's standing on top of the school, yells to her, and then she proceeds to dismantle him by like saying, "You're not worthy of dating me because you have a mole on your chest that always has one hair growing on it, and that's gross." And she dubs him Molio.
Yep, she's got an information network. She gets all the dirt.
And so her thing is that no one in the school could possibly date her, and that she dresses everyone down when they try to.
Yep.
Is it at this point that so we get a flashback to when he's a kid, when Masamune is a kid, and it's him getting rejected by a girl who is obviously
they have a past.
Yes, the cruel princess.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to class, and the queen bitch enters the classroom. And another kid, he watches as another kid gets dressed down, but this is like a chubbier kid, and she dubs him the pudding prince, because he's fat.
Thank God someone took that title away from me.
You gotta stop smacking on the delicious butterscotch, bro.
Nope. I mean, butterscotch pudding. Damn.
Oh yeah.
Sounds amazing.
We get a little bit of backstory from her. She's from the Adagaki group, whatever that means. Is that like a family? I'm going to assume like a rich family or something.
It's like a family.
And then she goes to eat alone, which is like, he's like, I'm going to go follow her and see what she's up to. And he goes and follows her and sees that she's eating alone in a shed, like a PE shed. And she's eating like 15 meals
because she eats a lot.
Because she's a hungry girl. Yeah. And she's ashamed of that because that's like her flaw.
Yes.
And it makes her imperfect and not womanly. And then he sees a spider in his face, and then he crashes into the shed, and then he has this thing over her, and she gets all embarrassed about it.
So he has gotten super hot in an attempt to make her fall in love with him so that he can reject her harshly and get revenge, hence the title of the show, for the bullying she put him through. And then the episode ends with first he saves her from a scissors man.
The pudding prince comes at her with scissors trying to cut her hair, and then for whatever reason he doesn't Masamune doesn't do anything about it. He's just cool to him the next day.
He put him in his place. He doesn't need to.
Yeah, I guess he got to look super cool, mm-hmm. which is a good thing.
That's all you need.
And
then at the end he is a cliffhanger. He gets a love letter that calls him pig's foot, which is what the lady called him.
Yep.
And he's like, oh no, I've been found out, but he probably hasn't. It's probably someone else. So yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good wish fulfillment. I also fantasize about how I would murder the girls that I went to school
of course.
With, which I assume is how this show's going to end. And it's also like some kind of femdom fantasy. Like, this is the kind of girl who would step on your dick first, like immediately.
It's the first move. Like, it's only downhill from there, too.
Yeah, what is this show? Think I want a Japanese high school girl's sweaty, warm, pantyhose-covered toes all up on my sack?
Certainly not.
No way, dude.
I think it ends with them shoving hot coals in your butthole.
Oh,
I think that's the final move.
Sounds terrible.
Who would want that,
Who would want a girl sitting on your face for 3 hours?
Yeah, so I also kind of think this is like, yeah, it's fun. It's a, you know, I've seen similar things to this before. I mean, of course, there's a dude who's cool and he's a backstory with a girl. I was entertained.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's not a huge pussy. Like, we're like,
he's pretty alpha, actually.
You're going to see a theme in the rest of these shows where the protagonist pretty much ruins a lot of other shows this season and in all anime because
they're all the same and wimps and terrible.
It's just so terrible wimps. But at least the plot of this show is like, this guy can't be a wimp, so that's good.
And he seems to, him having one over on her is nice.
Right. So finally someone wins.
Yes.
Well, probably not. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I'll have to watch it.
I want to see his, like, how he plays this, because the ball's in his court now, because he's got this thing over her, and the school wants them to get together, or, like, they're, like, you know, spreading rumors, like, oh my god, is she going to finally fall for him? And I want to see his plan, because it can't just be, that, right? It can't just be, I'm super hot now, I'm going to make her fall in love with me. He's got to have, like, steps to like lead up to that.
Maybe,
I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be
like
fun.
My guess is that the whole show is going to be him trying to make her fall in love with him, and then at the end, since this is probably like an ongoing manga or it's only 12 episodes or whatever, he's like going to decide not to reject her just yet, and then like they'll pop, maybe they'll get together or something.
He should play the really long,
like,
con.
This show is like, this isn't going to end with them either going out for real or him getting his revenge. It's going to be nothing, but it might be fun. I don't know.
I would like to make note, his friend, his male friend, who is this very effeminate, they call him the King Bottom or whatever.
Yes.
King is Bottom. I'm pretty bad at picking out when effeminate dudes are supposed to be dudes in anime for some reason.
Yeah.
And this one threw me for a loop for the longest of any, basically.
What? You know, as soon as it comes out, as soon as he talks, I was like confused for 3 seconds.
It sounded like a lady's voice to me.
What?
I don't know. But I liked him.
They refer to him as a king in like the first 10 seconds. How
but maybe, I thought it was maybe a joke about like, I don't know, man. and I like his short-haired lady friend. She seems nice. And sexy.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah, her. Yeah, no, there'll be like two other girls that
they will not be getting with him because the plot doesn't call for it, but they're probably better. Such is the nature of anime.
They're not going to be fucking, yeah. They're not going to be queen bees.
Yeah. Can I grab the next one also?
Oh, of course. Please, by all means.
Yojo Senki.
Oh, okay. You watched. Okay. That's not the one. That's not the next one I watched. But that's fine.
Okay. I'm glad we can settle our differences so easily.
Yeah, thank goodness. This is a light novel adaptation, by the way, by Studio Nut! Studio Nut!
That's a good name for a studio.
It's really good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Is it all caps or is it just Nut?
It is capital NUT!
Fuck yeah.
The studio is lowercase, but
it's
Nut!
That's so good.
It's so good. Speaking of femdom, by the way, this show.
So this is a show...
Yeah.
About lolly mages in World War II type war.
I think this title I think this might just translate to lolly war.
So there's this adorable girl who's a mage, and she's following this leader who's a blonde lolly who's a mage also.
Yeah.
And they're in this World War II type war, and there's this vague thing about, like, there's this they're a part of the Empire, and they're fighting for their homeland, and,
yeah.
It's just like, what does it look like if you have magic in World War II?
Yeah, but it's like high-tech magic, almost, because
yes.
They got, like, these things they strap to their boots to fly.
Yes. And then the opposition has really fucking stupid flying horses.
Like chainmailed robot horses or something.
So dumb.
It's really fucking dumb.
We follow. Basically, the protagonist is. What's the name of the protagonist?
Tanya is something. She's like a Kaiser lolly.
And she's cute. I like her design. But the lollies have really fucking huge, dismorphed faces.
Well, I mean, there's only one. Her friend, the other lady character, her eyes are fucked up. There's some weird shit going on with the character designs in this show.
Her mouth just like makes some of the weirdest.
I don't know what expressions
just
they're
look
going
at a picture,
for some
please.
Of the time.
How could the Empire possibly lose if they have mages on their side?
But the other side also has magic.
But their mages seem really confident. Like they got nicknames and shit, homie.
The other side has big old explosions that they make.
Fair.
They're just like, I don't care about the magic. Fucking explode that shit. They do it.
There's so much jargon. They're throwing around so much jargon, and I'm supposed to be following these things. And
are you? Or is this supposed to be like Evangelion, like war talk, like, or, you know, like techno babble, but with war?
It just didn't. I don't know. I just felt kind of like out of my element and lost most of the time in terms of like, I'm trying to pick up on which sides are which. And
yeah, that's the thing about war anime is every second the girl isn't on the screen, it's boring as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bunch of fucking strategizing that you don't care about, which is literally true for all war anime, because they all have one girl like Izeta and fucking Maria and just all this shit that I don't care about.
Speaking of the strategy, it looks like the commanders are just pushing Lego pieces around a fucking map of Europe.
Well, that's
super colorful. It just doesn't look like. And at some points, they've just got actual chess pieces on there, and I'm like, fuck that's off.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, what would you use?
The actual things they use. I don't know.
They don't use. You can use anything. You can use any object. You can use Reese's pieces.
I would use Reese's pieces.
That's also awesome. Yeah. I mean, those are colorful.
I would never stop be able to stop using eating
right,
them.
Yeah,
they would just
can't
be chomping on the whole time. You can't use baguettes.
Oh man, fucking
certainly not chocolates.
Remember when Winston Churchill got those 20,000 British troops killed because he misplaced some fucking Reese's pieces
yeah.
on his map?
That's when he went to cigars instead.
I better start smoking.
So
I'm gonna assume what he sounds like is like that.
I just think this is a bad first episode. like, because you know how like a good first episode will introduce you in a way that makes sense, and you can do this style of dropping you into the middle of something,
yeah.
and not have it be really like hard to follow exposition.
Right.
Like, I just watched the first episode of The West Wing. Do you know the show The West Wing?
I do.
That show does a really great version of this, where all of the it drops you into the middle of a thing, but you see how people do their jobs inside the West Wing, all relative to one event going on. So it's all talking about the same thing, and it just makes it easier to follow, and like it just like gives you a bit of information, like, you know, breadcrumbs throughout the entire episode until it pays off in an explanation of like, oh, this is what this actually means. Whereas here, it's just a bunch of disparate parties like going about doing their own jobs, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't know if I explained West Wing well, but
I already understand it.
It's a mess.
Written by Aaron Sorkin.
It's a mess.
I get it.
This is a mess.
You know, like it starts. Like I've seen worse first episodes because, like, you know, normally when you start out with long fights with people you don't even know, it's like this starts out with like a minute long fight with all these soldiers, and then you get the characters. The first shot of this does have some pretty bad CG, though, and that's always kind of a bummer.
I just think this is also super ugly, worth noting.
See, that's the thing. I really like the way it looks.
Oh, yeah?
I really like it, you know, it's sharp and whatever, but I just really like the setting, and I'm not even a settings guy. I never care about settings, and, like, I'm never just, because people will always be like, oh, it's like fantasy with technology, it's crazy, whoa! Like, I don't give a shit about that, but I just think that it's like very Killzone-y, and I've always kind of liked the aesthetic of Killzone. It's like really gray clouds, and everything's really gray, but then, I don't know. I like it for
I
some
did,
reason.
I did
about
definitely
the
immediately
stuff.
Understand that, like, the tone in terms of, like, we're in the trenches and things fucking suck, which I guess that's successful. Because within the first 5 seconds, I kind of understood, like, what we were going to be dealing with.
But it's also really, really cheesy. Like,
yeah.
the literal last 5 seconds of this episode,
oh
my God.
Right.
It's a bunch of guys in a war room somewhere, and they're talking about this lieutenant, the lolly girl,
Blonde
the main
lolly.
Character. And the last line is like, Tanya, whatever, is a monster in the form of a little girl. And then we get this really fucking dumb music, and she lets this really, really evil smile happen. And then we get the cut to the screen that says, yo, this shit's fake. The events in this show are...
Oh, who could have foreseen? She turns to the camera really dramatically.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Oh, it's so fucking stupid. This shit's fucking stupid.
What is our main... The brown brunette main character supposed to be?
She's just she's a soldier. She's an observer.
Okay. And do you think we're going to be seeing Tanya's mayhem from her perspective?
I mean, yeah. She's supposed to be the everyman.
Okay.
That we're relating to more because she's reacting to this crazy... lieutenant person like we're supposed to, I guess.
So the crazy lieutenant person sends homegirl's friends way back into like the back of the army, whatever. Like they've got these bunkers set up.
Yeah,
and
they disobey in a battle, and she lets them go, and they say, no, we want to victory or death. And she says, okay, go to this pillbox. And then we learn at the end of the episode that they have died.
But she loves it. She loves
it. Well, I mean, yeah.
But so, like...
But, I mean, if you're, like, if this is really, like, the most hardcore, like, army official of all time, she wouldn't have been so lenient with them to begin with. Like, she would have fucking shot him.
Yeah, for treason.
I
mean,
like, I bet fucking Douglas MacArthur did more hardcore shit than this. Come on, guys.
But she's reveling in it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess they're probably going to redeem her or something. She's probably going to defect, right? Because you can't work for an empire and not be evil.
Wasn't there, like, a subtitle saying, like, Tanya, the story of Tanya the Evil or whatever? I thought that was a part of the, like, the logo.
Probably.
Or the title card. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she'll soften up.
But, yeah, I was not impressed with this first episode at all.
I just liked the aesthetic, but, yeah, I'm probably not going to watch that much more of this.
what do you got next, homie?
I mean, there's I don't know. There's a lot of chuckle-worthy shows, but the one I had after next is a show called Urara Meirocho.
Okay.
Urara Meirocho. English title, Urara Mays Town Book. What the fuck? Great fucking job, guys. This is licensed by Sentai. Some fucking intern at Sentai had to come up with some nouns, I guess. Maze Town Book.
He rolled the dice.
Fucking, yeah, like, oh no, I need some English nouns. I don't speak their language. What am I supposed to do? Fucking Google Translate does a better job of translating this fucking title. Urara Labyrinth. That's all you fucking need. What the fuck is the Maze Town Book? Maze is spelled like
Maze
corn.
Maze Town Book.
Fuck you. Fuck yourself. God damn it. This is a 4 coma. By JC Staff, one of JC Staff's 4 shows this season.
What?
4 shows.
What? Fucking Jesus.
They're an industry. They're a juggernaut.
Wait, they're like Ford.
Yeah. Who's Chevy then?
A1? Chevy. I don't even know what Chevy looks like anymore. What's a shitty car company? Is Chevy shitty?
Well, I mean, Ford and Chevy is the classic rivalry.
A1 makes sense. A1's good.
Okay, yeah.
What is
Pontiac. No, I don't know.
Like, what's dead? If the studio's died recently?
Yeah, Manglobe.
Manglobe is, that's Pontiac on Pontiac.
Yeah,
Pond.
They made some really ugly shit, and everyone was like, ha, that looks
like
garbage.
The Aztec's the worst.
Some of them are good. Everyone makes fun of the Aztec.
What is Gainax? Has any car company become shit recently?
I mean, you have to keep selling cars to exist as a car company, whereas an anime studio doesn't need to make anything, I guess, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can draw any clear comparisons there.
Yeah.
So there's no Gainax. Gainax stands on
its own. Gainax is Ferrari.
Okay.
They started really hot in the 80s, and then in the 90s they had some cool cars. And
but
now
and everyone still uses them as an example of great
of course.
Stuff, even though they don't exist anymore.
They don't produce anything of substance. I think we nailed it. That's pretty good. All right.
It's pretty good. I don't know how we did that, but yeah, nice.
We don't know anything about cars.
Oh my God, I know zero about cars. I'm so sorry.
Someday we'll get into cars. We should get some cars and race them out. Really stupid.
Just get some cars. Yeah, we have. I mean, there's 2 cars right below us right now, but we can't even fix those, and they're almost done.
They're almost done.
They're almost, you know, drivable. But
we should take your car and put neon lights on the bottom.
That's not even legal, so yes, we should absolutely do that.
What? It's not legal?
No, not at all.
Underglow isn't legal?
Oh, no.
GTA lied to me.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
no.
That game about committing crime lied to me.
You're telling me I can't run a bulldozer through this bank wall, get away with it?
Have you ever played GTA with Connor?
I think I've watched him play it.
So, when I play GTA, I do cars that I would want to drive in real life. If that makes sense.
So the best cars.
I'm bad at wish fulfillment, I guess. And it's just like, I've got cool muscle car in this color palette that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And Connor shit is all cranked to
the
back.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like,
all right,
everything's green he's and got purple underglow.
He's got the fucking cheetah print steering wheel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got the hydraulics.
Connor plays as a girl, and this girl is just the fucking always blinked out to fuck. She's got a bikini on. And
tattoos.
This is... We have very different styles.
Yeah, and I mean, you can play any way you want.
Yes, that's why GTA is a great game.
Nice.
You heard it here first.
That's my thesis. You heard, yeah.
Anyways, sorry for distracting.
Urara Meirocho is wonderful.
Yes.
It's so good. The background art is fucking amazing.
Yes.
JC Staff, not all their shows are great this season, but they always kill it with the background art. We'll get to that later. There's another show that I want to talk about with that. But, like, fantastic background art. The music's really good and nice. The character designs are amazing. like, it starts off, it's just like a fucking, like, 10-second starting scene. It's just this girl sitting on a tree with, like, animals surrounding her, Ace Ventura style. And she just decides to go to the city because she needs to become a something. It's an Uhura, right? She needs to become an Uhura.
I think this establishes the character very well right out the gate.
What is she? An airhead?
She's whimsical.
Stupidly whimsical.
She woke up, or she went to sleep in a tree so that she could be in that tree when she woke up to see the sunrise. Right. Beautiful. Wonderful. amazing.
Oh, and then the OP is so good. Fuck, yes. I'm going to watch this show for the articles. The articles of clothing on these sexalicious...
As they shake them in your face.
8-year-old girls. So Uhura is the magic town or whatever. And what's more important is it's inhabited solely by 15-year-olds. And
shit.
So she goes there to get some teaching or something. She gets accused of thieving because all the animals near her are taking stuff. But she doesn't even know why the animals follow her around. They just do.
She's so bubbly.
and then to apologize, she just keeps lifting her shirt almost all the way up. Woo! Yep.
Both sorry, raising I was arms drinking there. I'm raising my hands because, wow. Because
you just don't care.
So lovely.
It's
like
yeah.
being swaddled by a cloud.
yeah.
Except you wouldn't be moist, but you would instead be like, it's like the driest
cloud. It's like
cloud.
A warm cloud, yeah. A warm, soft cloud.
It's like being swaddled in the lint that's left over in the lint trap from the dryer after you're drying clothes.
That's a good one. It's nice. And there's even Yuri Bait, too. This is the best show of the season. Should have saved this one for last. So good. Our main character is Chia. She got dog ears and titties.
Two of my favorite things.
And she makes a friend named Cone. And I wish we could have got Steven to watch this show. This would have been great. And she came to the city to become an Uhura and also to look for her mom, who went missing or something. And she meets a bunch of other friends, and they all start hanging out, and they're going to learn to be magic people. And there's a fortune-telling scene.
Oh, it's someone, so good.
Uses the tea leaves, but she drinks all the tea, so she can't tell.
She got a big old fat belly because she's drank so much tea.
Tons of, yeah.
It's adorable. And like
my inflation fantasies already. I'm just checking the boxes so
there's
fast.
There's inflation in the OP, bro. We're out here.
It's true, yeah.
And
one of her friends has a creepy-ass doll.
Oh, so good. it's lovely. In the divination scene or whatever, where like you know they're finding like doing fortune telling. There's this little awesome, super well done. These two, ink like it's like traditional Japanese ink drawing fishes. Fuck, I'm hammered.
Holy shit.
Swim across the screen.
Hammered. Two beers.
I'm fucking wasted, bro. Anyways, they swim across the screen, and it's super wonderful, and it just everything, all of the art production design is so great, which is weird to say about an anime. What is it called?
It looks really good.
It just looks great, and it feels great, and it's funny.
Oh, it feels great.
And I had a smile on my face the whole time, and it was like a ray of sunshine in an otherwise like very drab series of shows we watched.
There's a Ouija board. I don't know. There's not much to say. It's a slice of not really, I mean, it's not a normal life, but it's a slice of life.
I'm ready to learn about doing Japanese magic.
So, yeah, I'm down.
The girls are cute. The laughs are good. Okay. So you know how we fetishize the early to mid 2000s a lot?
Yes. Wait. No. We make fun of them. Wait, do you actually like those?
Well, I mean, we bring them up a lot.
Oh, sure.
At the very least.
Okay.
There was something about some of these character designs that was like just harkened back to that for some reason for me. I don't know if it makes sense. Like if you see that at all.
No, I thought they were pretty blobby. Pretty moe blobbish.
It felt like early blob.
You want to talk about mid 2000s character design? There's another one of JC staff shows we'll get to later. I love the way they look. The clothes are great. Yeah, it's
maybe it's just a couple amazing shots. I don't know, but yeah, good show.
Good show. There's, I don't know. I got nothing.
All right. What's the next one, homie?
Next show I have is called Fuka.
All right.
Fuka. It's a manga adaptation by Dio Media. Not to be confused, by the way, with my new CISO comedy, Fuka, which is a little bit different, coming this March. I don't know why I went with CISO there.
What is CISO?
It's fucking, oh my god. CISO is, shit. I don't know, it's some TV subscription thing and it fucking sucks.
Okay.
Go to their, if you're listening, go to CISO's Twitter feed. It's amazing. It's just embarrassing.
We'll check it out
some
after.
Some of the worst shit I've ever seen. Do you want to explain this? Or do you want me to?
Okay, I'll do this.
All right.
You're going to have to help me with names.
Well, there's Fuka.
is that, who's the protagonist?
I don't know. Who cares?
Okay, so Homeboy, who's the protagonist, is he's walking around the street sending a text message, and he gets run over by some bitch with blue hair who's named Fuka, and then she berates him for not getting out of the way, because she yelled to get out of the way with like right before running into him.
Yeah, she's a fiery tomboy type.
And this just infuriated me immediately. and I'm usually one for the fiery tomboys, but this just like...
A little arrogant.
Impolite. Impolite.
A little churlish.
And he accidentally peeps her panties.
A little bit.
Then she smashes his phone. Which infuriated me even further. I'm just fucking furious at this point.
I mean, I think you're supposed to be. I think that's the point.
And then he says, that's when I first met Fuka, the girl who seems to be wrapped up in the summer's breeze. And I'm like, fuck off, dude. Fuck off. There's no way. There's no way you could get me to turn around on this bitch. It's impossible.
So, okay. I was watching this and I was thinking, this fucking sucks. And then I went, wait a second. And then I realized... that a few years ago, I was directed to a chapter of a manga, and I read a little bit of it, and I realized as I was watching this that I know what happens in this show, and I don't know if I should spoil it. Maybe you should just watch it. I don't know.
I'm kind of if you're having that much of a reaction, I'm interested in what it actually is, and I'd like to consume it.
You want to, you don't want me to say?
I would.
Because I don't know anything about the quality of the show. I didn't read the whole thing. I think it's still ongoing. I don't know what happens, like, before the part I read or after the part I read. But, man.
Hit me with it, man.
Okay. Spoilers for Fuka, which is, like, fucking spoilers for Sixth Sense. Skip ahead 5 minutes or whatever. So Fuka is she's the type of girl who, you know, she's kind of short-sighted. She's she probably wouldn't notice, you know, she couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. She probably wouldn't notice a 18-wheeler truck if it were speeding towards her face.
No.
She probably wouldn't look both ways before.
No way. Oh shit. Oh, now it makes sense.
Chapter 37 of this manga, they kill Fuka.
Nice.
And they're on like 80 now.
Nice. Huh. Okay, so you probably do fall in love with her before she's horribly taken.
I think that's the point.
Even by the end of the episode, I was kind of like, okay, I could see how they could do this.
Yeah.
Interesting. How many episodes?
It's only going to be 12, so I don't even know what the fuck they're going to do.
Maybe they'll get second season.
It seems like Dio Media is really investing in outrage lately with like Mayoiga and just like
that's awesome.
And just like trying to make stuff that just gets people talking in whatever way possible.
That's very smart. That's smart.
Do you want me
to keep going or?
What do you mean?
Is that enough of the description of the show? Is that she? He runs into this girl who's crazy, and then
I mean, you know, they go on a date and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What I don't know about is Fuka isn't the first girl they show, which immediately should tip you off. Like, oh, are they hidden in something? Are they preserving the first girl rule that the first girl you see is the one that has to win? I would be curious as to depending on when that happens. In this show, if it happens at all, like if it ends with that, or if they go through chapters like crazy and try to make it super fast paced, or what? Because I would be curious as to if it handles extreme grief better than 95% of anime and manga with like Gurren Lagann and Charlotte when he just eats the pizza sauce, and he's like, okay, I'm not upset anymore. My sister fucking died. Yeah, I don't know.
You really gotta, if you're doing extreme grief, you gotta give some time to it. You gotta let it settle.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You gotta wallow in it.
This scene, okay, so basically it's gonna be a romance about these two, I'm gonna assume.
I guess, yeah.
There's a scene in this that I really like, because it tickles the animal part of my brain, which is when he goes home, because he lives with his sisters in Tokyo, because his parents moved to the United States.
Yep.
And he goes home, and all of his sisters are sitting around in their underwear because they do not care for his privacy at all, I guess. Yeah. Not privacy, but for his sensibilities. Yeah. And I'm just like, hot girls laying around the apartment.
That's what got you? That's what, really?
I liked it.
All right.
I don't know. It seemed real.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, this... Like, apparently this gets pretty stupid. Like, a clone of Fuka shows up.
Oh.
Or not a literal clone.
Just like Spider-Man.
Not a literal clone, but just a girl named Fuka who looks exactly like her and talks exactly like her.
Let me tell you about that time that Peter Parker hit on a clone of himself.
Oh, no.
Who was a girl.
Oh, no.
And she was the best girl in the entirety of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a high bar. Boy.
That is a high bar.
Fucking.
All the girls in Ultimate Spider-Man are wonderful.
Was it a literal clone? Who made the clone?
This was a literal clone. I don't know if they ever revealed where the clones came from.
Fuck you.
Because that's...
Fuck comics. God, they need to make all new characters. They need to, like, just moratorium.
Get that rid was of all an all-new character.
Spider-Man's in it.
Oh.
Get rid of all the shit. All these characters have been running to the fucking ground.
What they did for Ultimate Spider-Man is they took all the Spider-Man stories and then made the best versions of them ever.
I don't care.
It's if you ever read Spider-Man, read clones. Ultimate Spider-Man.
You don't need clones. If your stories gotten to clones, end it. It's over.
But what if the
you've run out of ideas?
But what if the clone saga's
you're out of no? The clone saga. Stop it.
There's only one clone, and it's her, and she's great. Fuck. She's so good.
No, one clone. Imagine one clone is too many.
Look at me, motherfucker.
Stop it.
Look at me, motherfucker. Imagine Peter Parker. What if he was a bitch?
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Imagine if you took the whimsy.
He'd be pretty cute.
The sense of humor of Peter Parker, and you made him a bitch.
That doesn't work. No, he's too sassy for that. Or of Peter totally Parker or a Spider-Man.
Works.
No.
Totally works.
No, girls don't work sarcastic.
So
like,
good.
No.
So good.
Not at all.
Ah, oh, she's best girl. Jessica's best girl. Anyways,
The main character of the show also is one of the subplot they're setting up is he's friends with a famous lady, number one single in the country, and he gets contacted by her at the end.
They cannot shut the fuck up about her.
They love her.
Everyone in Japan
Fuka loves her. His sister loves
her. This Koyuki bitch in her new single. And everyone's like, oh my God, her single made it to number one. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm so stoked that that artist single made it to number one?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but probably not.
Do you remember that time I called you up in the middle of the night?
Dude,
can you believe it? Third Eye Blind single made it to number one of the charts. Can you believe it, bro?
Dude, Haruhi season 3. It's happening.
That was 12:30.
No, I mean that was 9 in the morning. Not like it, you know. It was pretty funny.
I just want to take a second to acknowledge that there are some posters in the background of his room that I really like. I don't know if you noticed them.
I did see. Yeah, what did they say? I forget.
One of them said "cooled animal."
Right.
And
yeah.
It was COOLD animal. That's great. There was rock music.
Yep.
It was just a poster with a square with a circle in it. That's very funny. And then Route 66, and then they had an inverted Route 66 on the bottom of the poster. Very funny.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good. And his name is Haruna, by the way.
Great.
That's my last note.
That's the last piece that we finally fit all these puzzle pieces together.
Yes.
We understand Fuka.
All right, that's Fuka.
And then they hold hands.
It seems okay. I don't know. There's a scene where they can't find each other. They're going to a date, and she doesn't have a cell phone. Yeah, and like, we're going to meet up at a place. And I was just furious. I was so
I mean,
angry.
Yeah, like, I hate those scenes where it's like, oh, they can't find each other, even though they're right next to each other. But not for the reason that scene wants me to be furious.
I've seen it before. And this one went on for a while.
Get the fuck on with it. Oh, yeah, no, it keeps going.
But then it gives her a chance to be obnoxious and jump up on a thing and yell for him.
Right.
And I'm just character boy.
Exposition.
That said, I didn't hate it, so.
Yeah, no, it looks all right. And, yeah, I don't know. It's could be
some
cool.
Some of the designs are nice.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
You want to talk about Seiren?
Fuck yeah,
Speaking of harems.
This is
yeah
I stopped taking notes at a certain point.
She's just jerking it.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. You should probably describe this one.
This is an original anime shun by Studio Gokumi. This is the one that's, I guess, a spiritual successor to Amagami, which makes sense considering they all look the fucking same. And I think it even looks like they have the same uniforms. I didn't check, but they look really similar to me.
There's more.
And also, I can't tell any of the girls apart because they all have brown or black hair.
There's more diversity in a Japanese high school yearbook.
Oh, I... What?
There's more diversity in how people look in Japanese high school yearbook.
But these people are Japanese. That's not even a joke. You're just comparing Japanese people to other Japanese people.
There's so little detail in this show. There's so little detail in this show.
Yeah.
That what little detail there is seems accidental.
That fucking sick burn, bro.
I've seen cave drawings with more animation.
It's a... Sure.
Yeah, the characters in this show know so little about fashion that they would get laughed out of
school uniforms.
That they would get laughed out of a StarCraft event.
School uniforms. Our main character starts out with he's taking one of those career surveys, and he put down he wants to be a beetle because he gave a kid a beetle and the beetle made the kid happy or some shit. So yeah, this is one of the shows that's just this fucking protagonist almost ruins it for me. Maybe he does ruin it for me. I haven't decided yet.
This show has more awkward poses than Shutterstock.com.
Awkward poses, you say? Or pauses?
Poses.
Oh, okay.
As in, like, the poses they're in because it's very stilted and looks terrible.
Okay. I didn't think it looked that bad.
I think it looked pretty bad. I don't know.
Some of the girls tease him because he's such a fucking wimp, I guess. A girl puts her ass on his desk, and he's like, oh, ass desk. Oh, get me some of that ass desk ass. And he just stares at it as the fucking ass fog fades away, as do his dreams of ass. This guy's such a fucking puss. So then he does well on the finals, which he studied for because he was worried about him. He finds out about a cool no college kids trip for all the kids who are just going straight to work after school because I guess they're seniors or something. I like that they're friends with the popular guy, like this Chad, who, and they just go to the arcane with them, and that's how they hear about this. Like, they just hang out. It's not like they're not total rejects, him and his friend there. But then he decides, instead of going to the cool party, he goes to cram school instead. So most of the episode is just him, you know, talking to some girls that are going to be in the harem, which there are a lot of, and then he goes to the cram school. And at the end of a spooky girl crawls into his room, and she probably left the party and came to see him or something, and crawls into the room all scary, like covered in juices, and that's the end of the episode.
I got one more.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. What? Let's hear it. We have one more from Ethan here.
This show has so little contrast; it makes Apple commercials jealous.
Oh!
I don't know how you...
Woo!
I had a visceral reaction to the way this show looked.
Wow, really?
It looked very ugly to me. It was so... There's like no shadows. There's just no detail.
Have you watched anime in the last 5 years? That's how everything looks.
We'll go back and look at it after this. I need to talk to you because I just think it was just so washed out looking because there was just absolutely no darkness. Everything looked... Maybe it was just the rip I had was totally...
I mean, have you seen fucking How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend? Like, that's way worse than this.
Oh, and
it's a thousand times worse than
this.
And
I just thought there was, like, very little, like, not animation, but, like, even poses. It was a lot of just people looking at each other and their mouths flapping to me. I don't know. I was just... Maybe the illusion broke for me? I don't know.
Maybe you were fucking... The veil... You shattered the veil by accident.
Yeah,
you realize what all anime is because I'll have to watch it again because it just sounds like you're describing 100% of anime.
This just I recognize when shows look really bad, and this just like I don't know. This just looked that terrible to me. I was going completely insane in like a brain aneurysm or something, but there was just nothing going on. And maybe it was like sandwiched between like good looking things too, but I don't know, man. It just seems so ugly and so generic harem-y to me.
I like the girls.
There's
a lot of them. That's what your problem is you're not into waifu wars, but I am.
Maybe someday.
And I'm heading into battle.
All right,
Who
you taking?
I like the girl with the droopy eyes from the gym.
Okay.
And I like the whore a little bit. You know, I wouldn't touch her.
The faces looked off to me. Like, I mean, their eyes were too small or something. I don't know.
It's average looking. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. They also just looked very, like, tan. Or not tan,
what
but,
the
like,
fuck, dude?
No.
Oh, I see how it is. You hate
just,
this show because it's too ethnic.
Just,
no, I
like,
get it.
Like off
fucking
white.
Go watch your
Nazi movies.
Go watch your Nazi shows.
Go watch actual propaganda films.
What's the anime with the countrymen's? They're probably all white countries, right?
Hitalia.
Go watch that, you filthy racists.
We'll watch it after this. I need to point out specific scenes to you, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it just looks like Amagami.
Okay.
So maybe I'm used to the way that Amagami looks.
It's when they're, maybe when,
I mean,
like,
I haven't seen Amagami,
inside.
I've seen screenshots, you know,
okay.
I haven't actually watched Amagami.
But yeah, other than just spewing trash, I did not like this show. Sorry.
I had a good time, because I like to simulate talking with girls, and I like imagining high school, and I like the boobs, and I don't know, maybe it won't be good. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Sorry for derailing there, but man, I just...
That's not derailing. That's talking about the show. That's what we're supposed to
okay.
do.
Okay. All right. Sorry for talking about the show.
We're not a fucking shill cast. You can say what you want.
We should talk about Rogue One for a bit.
I haven't seen it.
I personally loved Rogue One.
It was bad, but I personally loved it.
Personally. I hated literally every aspect of it, but I'm going to give it a solid 9 just because...
No one's done that.
Star Wars.
No one did
Star
that.
Wars. I don't think people did that.
Yeah, no.
The reviews were fair to middling, so... which is appropriate.
It'll be fine. Yeah, that's Saren. Next up, what I got is, man, we have 4 shit-ass shows in a row here. We should have mixed these up a little bit. This is all garbage
this
from
is
here
what,
on
the
out.
Entire season felt like, or what we've done so far felt like this to me, except for Urara. So.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing, like, crazy outstanding yet. This is only the first third of the season.
They're saving it, man.
So the next one I got is Minami Kamakura Koko Joshi Jitenshabu.
Yes.
It's a manga adaptation by JC Staff. And it means Minami Kamakura Girls Bike Club or something. It's a it's a bike show.
It
bicycle.
Very much is.
Much. Anime is like 2-in-1 with the bikes for me so far. So I was going into this thing like, all right, can you get a 3-in-1? Can we win?
The 2 is Yawapeta. Or one of the 2 is Yawapeta
and Bakuan, which I enjoyed a lot. And the 1 is fucking the bike show from last season that I watched one episode of. The who cares what it was called? That sucked ass. And this sucks ass. So the first thing you notice when you start watching this show is the background art is fucking amazing. It's all this fucking hand drawn, like no CG. It looks gorgeous.
Oh,
it is so beauteous.
I got my notes wrong.
Oh, did you?
This is the one that looks mid-2000s to me.
Yes. Okay.
There we go. Okay.
Oh, my God. Yes. I was going to say, like, yes, this.
Thank God.
So right. The background art is fucking 10
lush
out of 10.
As hell.
Perfect.
So lush. There's so much color.
JC Staff, say what you want about JC Staff, but their background, like, their budgets are, nothing to do was really low budget. They fucking go for it. And, this show, like, I was almost enjoying this episode just for the backgrounds. Like, I could, if I had just...
Serious eye candy.
It is so fucking good.
Nobody does a fucking Sakura tree like they do, man. Just, it radiates from everywhere. There's so much pink and, oh my gosh. Oof. Wonderful.
And, yeah, it's so bright. Yeah. And then you see the characters and they look like ass. They look like they've all been outsourced to fucking some hellhole in Southeast Asia. And the legs are CG sometimes when she's on the bike.
Yes.
Our main character. The joke in this episode sort of is our main character has forgotten to ride a bike, which is pretty funny. By the way, some of the subs in this really rubbed me the wrong way, because she says, they say it's muscle memory, right? Like, no, that's not the expression. The expression is, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. No one says it's muscle memory. Fuck.
I lived in a very literal town.
Literal town.
We're very, everything's very scientific. It's muscle memory.
I cannot understate the disparity between the way the characters look. Watching these fucking shit-ass characters walk through these beautiful environments, they should reuse these for a different show. They should scrap this.
Their faces are so boxy.
And take this stuff. Yeah, no, they look like very 2008. Very generic.
Thank you. 2008 is exactly the year I was thinking.
Absolutely.
Money.
Yeah, and not good 2008 like Code Geass.
No.
Like just generic 2008. Like yeah, time travel shoujo.
Nothing with
shit,
beautiful
shit like
characters like Code Geass.
Slender, beautiful figures.
Svelte.
Code Geass.
Spider-Link.
Well, you know, it's got a style. It's not generic 2008. Mm-hmm. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
And and this just looks like they took a show from 2008 and put new backgrounds in it.
It's their fucking sexy backgrounds, though. I can't overstate.
It's so good.
And they go to the beach. There's a scene where they turn around a corner and then there's the ocean, and I'm like, what the ocean feels
like.
JC
Staff does atmosphere really good. Like, did you watch the first episode of Amanchu, or did I watch that with Steven?
Gotta describe.
What's that?
You gotta describe it, homie.
Amanchu, the girl, she's scuba diving.
Yes. Oh yeah, I watched first episode of that.
Yeah, like that looked real nice too, except the characters also looked nice. And you know, same sort of like really nice small town atmosphere, the ocean, the music's very JC Staff, a lot of acoustic guitar. It's got that JC Staff acoustic guitar.
I wonder if anything, have you seen Glasslip yet?
No. We should just watch that for the show.
Okay, for sure. I would absolutely love to go back and rewatch that, but like that everything we've described works perfectly in Glasslip for me.
Yeah, that's PA works, but
oh, PA, fuck me. Sorry. So many studios with abbreviations and they're, you know.
It's a lot. Our character's trying to learn a bike on her way to the entrance ceremony. She's a new high schooler. And she meets a girl that I think she already knew, or maybe she just meets her and they just become friends instantly.
I kind of liked how Tomoe helped her to ride a bike immediately.
Yeah, she's a nice girl.
That's cute. That's fun.
And she hits only the front brake and just tumbles and goes face first.
Yeah.
I looked it up because I was like, wait a second. The MC of this show has the same voice actress as Bakuan's, and she's literally exactly the same character. It's like, wow, man, boy, you're really just shamelessly, you're going for it, huh? There's a scene with some sandwich stealing asshole birds because I don't know if this is a real town or not. I did not look that up, but, they mentioned there's black kites, I think, and they steal your fucking food, your sandwiches.
So this isn't like, I didn't hate this, but are you just done with bike shows and you just didn't think this one did it at all?
It was very boring. And the characters don't look good, whatever.
The jokes were fine. I thought the things were like, I kind of like that scene. I thought the scene with her helping to ride the bike was nice. I mean, it wasn't incredible, but I wasn't like actively.
I was just thinking like I can see where this is going from a mile away. Even as the scene where she sees the bike club and she goes, "Oh, sugoi!"
There's the thing where they're talking about like
just every fucking
a little,
show.
A high school girl can only go so far, and then a girl blows by her on a bike. You're like, what's that? Is that a bicycle? I can go forever on these. I feel like I'm totally free. Like that kind of deal.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it a million times, but I didn't think this was the worst one. But
it's not the worst one, but I have no interest in continuing.
Absolutely. I mean, I knew exactly where it was headed when I saw the bicycle in the logo for the show. And I'm like, fuck. Damn it. I have to sit through 22 minutes of a girl learning that she wants to be a bicyclist. Again.
Imagine 12 episodes of it.
Oh.
And then at the end, we get a live-action bike tutorial with, I guess, some of the voice actresses or something. And we get this dude in this bike shop explaining frames to them. And this dude's fucking face is like has a gun to his head. It's so fucking funny. Oh, man. I got to screen cap that somewhere. And then the very last line of the show is like one of the voice actresses saying to the other one, "I bet you'd fall." Which I thought was pretty good. It's fucking brutal. Ugh, bikes. So now you're 2-for-2, bikes. Sorry. Tied.
Fitty-fitty's not bad. Can you imagine all the other genres and what their ratios look like?
That's true. I don't know. Yeah, like...
Yowopeta was so good. I watched a solid two arcs of that.
The four episodes that I watched were pretty good. And then I was like, boy, this is going to take a while. Sorry, I can't. I just can't. Yeah. So that's that.
Cool.
Just someone make wallpapers out of all those backgrounds, please. And that's how I'll absorb this show.
look at
it. It's contributing in some way.
5 minutes at a time for the next 10 years of my life.
Consider it practice for the next JC Staff show that's airing this
season. Yeah, they're just trying out these backgrounds. It's background painting technology. I would love to compare the first episode of this show and the 12th one. Maybe they just, the guy painting these is just like, ah, whatever. No one's watching.
They're on the moon.
They're just fucking on a green screen. Yeah, like they're on a picture of the moon.
What would it look like if a show started being meta about how their budget went away and like
they did that? They did that with fucking Karekano. Remember?
Oh yeah, but good point. But if they maintained being animated,
oh, like,
where it's like they're pulling away like
slowly yeah. over time that the seams start showing.
Yeah. Like they pull away the background.
Characters just start skipping as they walk. Like they just start like juttering instead of having flute instead of having keyframes. That'd be good.
Or like within the world, like a person wheels away a backdrop or something.
Oh God, that'd be.
Too clever.
Weird.
Too clever for anime.
You have to know that your budget's going to run out before you start the show.
You basically have to do like a Blazing Saddles type ending to a show.
A Monty Python type. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that won't happen. I don't think Manami Kamakura is going to go
that
route.
That's how my show would end.
Yeah. No. That's why you're not. That's not. They won't fucking hire you.
Damn it.
Ever.
That's why.
Oh yeah. No.
I speak such fluid Japanese. Equal I can't
opportunity.
Understand.
Yeah. No. Next one I have here is also garbage. it's called Schoolgirls Strikers colon animation channel, which that's the official title. That's not even translated. That doesn't make shit sense.
No.
This is a card collecting mobile game.
MOBA game.
More like Kusoge. That's what they call games that they don't like
shit
over
games.
There. Shit games.
Oh, that's good.
This show is by JC motherfucking Staff.
Yeah. putting in work this season.
Really,
how many of the things we watched were by JC Staff?
We watched 3 of them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so they got one more that we'll see
they
in
did
part 2.
33% of the shows we watched.
Yeah.
Wow, fucking A.
Masters of the craft. So this is a superhero show, I guess. We start out, there's a scene with a stupid fucking arm flaily Pokemon guy. He looks like a big retarded Wobbuffet. And by the way, Wobbuffet is literally a better character in Pokemon than any of the characters in this show.
He's got spunk.
He's funny. I like the first shot of this because it's like we see this stupid ass monster. And then immediately cut to a floating baby with a holographic keyboard.
That sounds like Ladder Dragon Ball to me.
It looks so fucking dumb. It's hilarious. And that turns out that's the mascot character. And it has the mandatory.
Really?
The mandatory. Wait, really? You didn't finish it?
No, I finished it. But it's like, it's just. I guess I didn't take that in that's supposed to be the mascot.
Well, yeah, because it has the mandatory verbal tick, and this one is Moshu, so it finishes every sentence with Moshu, and that's how you get a mascot character. It's just a scene with them fighting this thing, and then it's just they're in school and they're normal, and like one of them is like Chuni, and she's got a sword, and she's getting chewed out for having the sword. Yeah. And then it becomes like a weird comedy for a few minutes where they're ghost hunting.
I was wondering where the fuck this show was going.
I was like, wait a second, wasn't this a superhero show for like 3 minutes? And then they just turned it into this because they're just talking and it's like just a school comedy.
What, there's nothing interesting going on at a school. Let's make something interesting happen.
Seven mysteries.
Yeah, and then they made a mystery. And then it happened, and then it didn't, and it's like, oh no, it's actually just another character.
Oh yeah, hey, this character, why are you in the school? Well, like, fucking, you're in the school too. Like, what are you doing? Why are you asking someone if they're in the school? Obviously, it's school hours. Then they're just walking home, and then they get summoned, and they are Fifth Force, as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Great name. They're superheroes. They use their phones to transform or some shit. And one of the girls has amnesia, I think.
There's a transformation sequence.
There's a transformation sequence, which is... That's the only good part, because it's like, ooh.
Transformation sequences are always like...
Sensual.
At the very least, have some vague nudity in them.
Vague nudity. I don't know if that... Sure. Like, partial nudity, you mean.
No. You know what I mean.
Are those nipples?
The impression of nudity. You have to get in there deep.
Ambiguous nudity.
You got to go frame by frame. And like, have you ever seen Digimon Tamers?
No.
That has vague nudity in it.
Ooh, wow.
If you saw it, you would know exactly what I mean, where it's like, wait a minute. They can't be showing this on American television.
Enhance.
Those are the impressions of people without clothing on. Oh, that's vague nudity.
Oh, so like Ken doll type nudity?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Not like, whoa, this effect makes it look like there's a little vag crack here.
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Ken doll is perfect.
Okay.
Ken doll.
Gotcha. By the way, I think all the enemies in this show that they fight are going to be that exact enemy model.
That's impossible.
Because there's like three of them in this episode, and they're all that Wobbuffet. And I'm fucking losing it. Like, how could this be possible? There is, like, holy shit. No way.
What if they did a Who's That Pokemon style interlude, and it's always that same thing?
That'd be pretty good. And then they're fighting this thing, because they go into the fifth dimension to fight the things, and it's just Japan, but there's no one there, so no one dies or whatever. And so they don't have to draw people running away. And then there's another group who saves them from a big Wobbuffet that they find, who's even more scantily clad, much more. Like, they're wearing these bikinis where, like, you know, you can kind of see the lips a little bit. And they're called Coconuts Vega.
Now, like, that was the only part of the entire show that I liked, was that it's because that's so ludicrous. It's
like, how do you even get those words? I don't even...
First of all, what is Vega?
What kind of Japanese drugs do you even do? What does the word Vega even mean? Yeah, I've never even thought about that.
It's a Street Fighter character.
Vega, also designated Alpha Lyrae, is the brightest star in the constellation of Lyra.
Coconut.
The fifth brightest star in the night sky and the second brightest star in the northern celestial hemisphere after Arcticus. Arcturus. It's relatively close, only 25 light years from the sun, together with Arcturus and Sirius, one of the most luminous stars in the sun's neighborhood.
Now it makes complete sense.
Yeah, now I get this show. This shit blows ass.
No, it's rough. this shit's rough.
This is brutal.
A stretch where I watched, like, this, Seiren, and it was just like, fuck, kill me. Like, Oh.
Oh, actually, no, we are ending on a good show. Okay.
I have to pee. I'm sorry, I have to pee.
That's cool.
Keep talking. Finish.
I don't want to keep talking.
Oh.
That was all I had to write about this show. Okay. This show is hot shit. And not hot, like, hot
dude,
feces.
Not like, dude, you're hot shit.
No.
This is instead like, oh, man.
It's bad.
That was a hot
don't watch it. Please don't watch it. Oh, terrible. Just terrible. And we're back. Ethan, how do you feel about the country of China?
My first note for Spirit Pact is China! Oh, by the way, the opening for this needs to be China. China.
China?
China.
This is based on a manhua, a Chinese manhua. We got a little China shit here.
The first second, you know immediately. There's something.
Well, because he's wearing the thing.
It's so something's always off.
He's wearing the Chinese thing, and then obviously the opening. They didn't Japanify the opening,
no.
So it's all.
It's all.
I'm not gonna do an impression because that would be below me. But Chinese is the ugliest language ever created by man.
It makes German sound sensual.
Chinese people, I'm not going to insult your culture by doing an impression of your language, but it sounds like you're fucking jerking off and having a seizure at the same time when you fucking talk, you animals.
It's so rough.
it's bad.
Don't even have music. Don't even bother making songs anymore. It's the ugliest shit I've ever fucking heard in my life.
It's hideous.
How do you even rhyme things that don't sound like anything?
These human mouth sounds should be considered fucking
war crimes.
Just blasphemy. Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, China, but you're fucking take up Japanese or something, man.
Oh my god.
Fucking hell.
Say that over there, I get fucking murdered. this is based on a Chinese manhwa series composition by a Japanese person, but the director's Chinese. So first we got Blood of Ores, and now Spirit Pact. Chinese, great at coming up with names.
Two for two, baby.
Delicious. So this is by Amon Animation Company. Yeah, opening is in Chinese. Pretty funny. oh, and also this first episode is called A Pact with a Spirit?
That's fucking hell.
You don't even yeah. Oh, it's good.
It
you can tell also you can tell it's China because everyone's a fucking asshole to each other. There's no like suddenly like I'm watching all these shows and suddenly the politeness is gone. I'm like, whoa. Because it's China and our main character, instead of being a sexless pussy or something, he's just a dick to everyone.
He doesn't listen.
And everyone's a dick to him. And they're just, yeah, he's insulting each other and he's refusing business just because fuck you. He's a fortune teller and everyone's just like, hey, tell my fortune. He's like, no! Because I don't know.
I'm going to roll around to the floor now.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
There's slapstick, but it doesn't like make any sense in the context of what's happening.
There's a lot of, yeah, chibi style, like funny face comedy, but it's really stilted and weird.
It just doesn't work.
Feels a little forced, yeah.
Stop it, China.
So yeah, our main guy's a fortune teller. His name is Yo Keika, which I think might be a... Did they change his name for Japan? They probably did. He also repairs computers on the side. And one night he's digging through the dump to find computer parts, and he runs into a magic fight between two magic people, and he fucking leaves. I don't know. He just says like, "Okay, you're a fucking couple of Koreans or something." This is a movie, and it was just your copy of this show. Was the frame rate fucked?
No.
Okay, mine was. I don't
Maybe
know why.
I didn't notice.
You would have noticed. Like mine was damn near unwatchable.
Okay, no. But what do you say is that you're making a movie or whatever? He says, "Wow, the CG looks really good in a movie that's happening in real time in front of him."
I think the joke is that he's so in denial that he's coming up with weird
Doesn't
things
work.
That don't make any sense. I mean, it's not. Yeah, no. I mean, it's not.
It's not high art.
It's not fucking. Yeah, it's not legendary comedy, but. Oh, and then our friend Truck-kun makes an appearance. He heads over here on his way to Fuka, and he fucking rams MC's ass, and he dies, and that's the end of the show.
Sorry, it's just the joke.
How dare you laugh at our friend Yo Keika?
Our friend Truck-kun on his way to Fuka. Oh shit. Oh, that's good.
18-wheeler song.
He doesn't stop. He's the fucking biggest killer in anime.
Oh, he just keeps going.
He's an animal.
He misses like 95% of the time, but every once in a while.
When he lands, it's severe.
He has a picture of Fuka and Yo Keika on his dashboard like, yeah, I got those fuckers.
He scratches them into the side, into his door, and he's like, puts another fucking check down. Oh, man.
He's listening to This American Life as he jerks off down the highway for 18 hours. He's drinking bulletproof coffee. He's fucking on 300 milligrams of modafinil, and he's ready to fucking kill some teenagers.
Next time on
Truck-kun.
Next time on cereal. Where were
next
you?
Next time on cereal. Out the way, fuckers!
Remember that time Sarah Koenig ran a dude over on the podcast?
I had no idea she was driving while she recorded that. She's a busy girl.
She was shaving her cooch, doing an interview over the phone, and driving a truck.
What an absurd lady.
So compelling, though, that serial.
I still can't stop listening to it. I've never listened to it. So yeah, he's a ghost, and the dude from the dump meets him, and he says, hey, be my spirit shadow so you don't... because your spirit is going to go away in 7 days, and you can just work for me. So he's a ghost now, and he's watching himself and how he died on the news, and he can fly. And then the girl who the guy was fighting shows up. She's in a red dress, and she almost beats him, but then he puts on a weird gay wedding ring that is on two fingers, index and thumb, and then they become butt boys together forever.
My friend is so edgy. Fucking the dude, God, the dude who he enters the contract with is like so stoic and wears a trench coat.
Yeah,
and is just comical. And this thing's a tonal disaster.
It's like
they don't understand.
It's trying to be funny, it's trying to be ashy, it's trying to be gay shit.
Yeah,
it's not really great at being either. Like no. I'm not fantastic at tapping into my gay self. But he wasn't enjoying it very much. He was like, no, I don't like this.
Well, isn't that what gay dudes like?
Bad things?
What
do they like?
Well, yes. But also, they like it when they don't like it.
Oh,
when the
I
characters
see.
Don't enjoy the things happening.
Little, yeah, I don't know. Some non-consensual action. I got you.
He duped him.
That's true.
He got tranny tricked.
I mean, he was sort of, yeah, he was a little forced. So yeah, this is not just gay shit. This is Chinese gay shit. And I don't approve.
No, neither do the Chinese. This is probably get taken off the air.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no skeletons so far, so they're in the clear.
They have Chinese representation in there, so we're good.
Yeah, I would like to see, like, yeah, like, there's one weird offhand line where, the insurance money that would have gone to him for getting hit by the truck is going to be automatically donated to an accident relief fund or something. I was like, yeah, that sounds like something communist China would do.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird little, you get, the only reason you would ever watch the show is to get weird little artifacts. Like, hey, what's China like? What do Chinese people, what do they think?
And you just cover your ears as the theme song plays and you're like, ow! Oh, your words hurt.
Oh.
Your
epilepsy language destroys my brain.
It's so efficient, but it's so disgusting. the French should they should take Chinese and make it sound good.
Yeah, we should
or
get them
French.
On that.
What's the sexiest language?
French sounds all right. I mean,
I like Spanish.
Sure.
When a Javier Bardem type is saying it.
I like, is it Finnish? Or, I don't know, any Scandinavian language.
Now we're talking.
Russian sounds fine, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's very brusque.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Mm. Yeah. Any of those. Pick one.
Trying to pick one to help them fix it.
Pick a white language, and then, yeah, fucking fix your shit.
Or click. Click tongue's cool, too.
Click tongue.
Oh, God. You know.
No, I got you.
All right, cool. All right.
Morse code.
Yeah.
No. All right. That's enough for that show.
All right.
Because it's bad. And this is the last one.
All right.
We're done forever.
Until next
After
week.
This. Until, yeah, 2 weeks from now. The last one's called Demi-chan wa Katari-tai.
Yes.
Or Interviews with Monster Girls, a manga adaptation by A1 Pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is about a teacher is our main character. And I like the way he looks. He's like halfway to bear mode. He's like, yes. He's a big guy, but he's not fat. He's like just like a
husky.
He's a husky man with spiky hair.
It's nice seeing a dude who's not a scrawny Japanese man for a bit.
Yeah, he has like he's got a friendly look to him. He's like cool biology teacher who's big, who played rugby or something.
Yeah.
And there's monster girls and they're coming in everywhere. They're coming to your town. And he's interested in them. He's because he's a biologist and he wants to learn about them. And then suddenly he realizes that there's just tons of them in his school one day. Because why not? So like the new teacher is a succubus, but like a pure succubus. So she avoids him and doesn't want to talk to anybody because she'll fuck the shit out of him. And
have you seen him? Come on,
it's a good point. And there's a vampire girl and there's a snow girl and a girl and a Doulahan girl with her head off, and it's really good, and it's nice and the characters are fun and it looks good and it's good.
Thank you, God, for something good at the end of this.
Yeah, no, that was the
light at the end of the tunnel.
That's a relief.
Because, you know, you've got a likable protagonist, which is nice.
Yeah, and there's not really a conflict. He just wants to interview them. He just wants to talk to them about what it's like. He wants to learn. And that's what he does. He talks to the vampire girl and is like, hey, what's going on? You want to fuck when you bite? And she's like, nah. And then
there you go. Now he knows.
And now he knows. And now I know. And it's good. It's fun. It's just, there's a lot of little subtle things, like there's some good little comedic timing in there.
I like the vampire girl a lot.
Oh yeah, totally.
Which helps.
She's great.
The Doulahan girl's great. I it's very pleasant.
Yeah.
And the conceit of the show is fun, where it's just like, I want to know about these things. Oh, I get to know about these things. And
right.
We're going to learn what their lives are like, and it's not what you would expect. Crazy.
Except it kind of is. You know, like the vampire girl's looking through like vampire popular like lore, and she's like, oh yeah, no, I like garlic, it's true, and stuff like that.
Isn't the vampires don't like garlic?
or yeah, something like yeah.
But she likes garlic, which goes against type.
I thought she, I don't know.
But yeah, it's just fun. And it's not require a lot of you, and you can just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, and at the end, Vampire Girl starts talking to the Doolahan Girl, and she's like, "So, must be annoying with your head now." And then there's like sort of a, everyone looks at her like, "Oh,
you
oh.
shouldn't have said that."
But then she's like, "Yeah, no, I'm used to it though." And it's like, "Oh, it's
they're just like us."
Yeah, you just be friendly, and it's
she wants to understand what that struggle's like.
Yeah, they should show this in the U.S. It's racial healing. It's like the show, I call it.
That's like what I was feeling the entire time was like, okay, this is, I mean, pretty thinly veiled, like, everyone's the same, together this message. And I'm like, oh, this is a nice one of those, which is nice. It's not super in your face about it. And yeah.
Everyone's different, but that's fine.
Yeah, and, you know, they have their like... Everyone can get over it. get over the things that are keeping you down. Don't worry about systematic oppression.
Your head's fine.
Yeah, your head's fine.
It works, you know. And the vampire girl pokes pencils in his neck to make it feel like she bit him. And
that's a
like,
fucking scary thing
joke.
To do.
Yeah, all right, yeah. It's a good one.
I thought that was pushing the limit of her, but maybe she's just getting, like, she thinks she's more comfortable with him than he does with her.
They're just talking about her sexual preferences, so I don't know. It's pretty close already.
Yeah, and she's young, and he's like, oh, you're at that point where you might not want to be kissing, biting boys yet anyway, so I don't know.
Erotic.
It's good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Made me feel good. It's the very few W's in this first batch, so you got to take them when you can get them.
W's?
Wins.
Oh,
sure.
And
this is
sure.
one of them.
Okay.
This is a good show.
Yeah, no, it's good. And we should stop saying it's good and end this episode.
318Weebs22.
318Weebs22. 3Weebs@gmail.com.
3Weebos on Twitter.
That's it for... Sure, yeah. If you could fucking find it. And that's it for this, for part one of who knows how many. Hopefully we'll only do
probably
two. Probably two.
Okay, I have maybe an idea if we do three.
Okay.
So, yeah. Send emails of things we should watch and we will watch them.
We got a bit of a buffer, but yeah, we'll get to it eventually. We just don't expect us to get to it too soon.
What, you think you're that important that we're gonna watch your show right away? Come on, dude. Come on.
But yeah, no, definitely send it. I mean, we're gonna release an episode in the coming, probably after the season impressions are done, that someone requested to us like in September or something. So yeah, do it, and we'll talk about it, and then we won't get it. I won't understand your show. I'm sorry, but it's fine.
We don't expect you to understand our show either, so
I don't even understand our show.
Oh.